Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. As always, I'm so grateful that we've all joined together in this time to remember who it is that we truly are. So let's take a few moments to turn within, turning away from the busyness and the goings-on of the world, to turn within to that love in our heart and that light in our mind. That space that we all share. Taking a few mindful breaths, this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And giving our willingness to the Holy Spirit to trust that whatever we need to hear or say or share this evening, that the words will be there for us. And with that love in your heart and that light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right. So, again, we're on page 203 in the Sparkle Edition. And if you have the original edition, we are on page 170. It's chapter 8, paragraph 114. And if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is page 165, also paragraph number 8. So we're actually going to start reading mid-section. The section that we've been in is called The Answer to Prayer in the Sparkle Edition. And just to sort of bring us up to speed, based on our call last week, this section was teaching us that it seems sometimes like perhaps we ask the Holy Spirit for things that might even seem to be in line with A Course in Miracles, and those things don't happen. And we've all experienced that, and so this is saying that, you know, there's perhaps part of us that's still afraid of healing, and of course healing will not happen if there is fear. And so we're technically asking for something that we don't fully want yet when we seem to be asking for something that we don't receive. So that's sort of what the messages were that we were reading up until this point. And it was also all about, I just heard a funny noise, maybe that, I'm not sure what that was, I'm sorry. Did anybody else hear that?
It's my reminder for my Course in Miracles.
Oh, perfect timing, you're here. I don't think I've heard somebody's reminder on their phone before, so that's what that sounds like, thank you. Basically this is also talking to you about seeing the Holy Spirit in our brother, and that's what we are going to be continuing with now. I'm actually thinking that we'll just reread the last paragraph that we read last week, and so I'll read two paragraphs right now, the first one we read last week, and then the next one is new for this week. So I'm going to start with, I love you for the truth in you. It's at the very top of page 203. I love you for the truth in you as God does. Your deceptions may deceive you, but they cannot deceive me. Knowing what you are, I cannot doubt you. I hear only the Holy Spirit in you, who speaks to me through you. If you would hear me, hear my brothers in whom God's voice speaks. The answer to all prayer lies in them. You will be answered as you hear the answer in everyone. Do not listen to anything else, or you will not hear truth. Believe in your brothers because I believe in you, and you will learn that my belief in you is justified. Believe in me by believing in them for the sake of what God gave them. They will answer you if you learn to ask truth of them. Do not ask for blessings without blessing them, for only in this way can you learn how blessed you are. By following in this way, you are looking for the truth in you. This is not going beyond yourself, but toward yourself. Hear only God's answer in his sons, and you are answered. So I'll actually just begin by saying a few words, and then please, if anybody has comments or questions or insights, please do jump in. This section that we're continuing with here is all about seeing the Holy Spirit in our brothers, in each other. And so how it says, I'm trying to remember if we read this last week or if this is something that I just read. It's sort of flying through my mind. Basically, when our brother is speaking in this section, I'm interpreting this as not with, you know, his words. This is what this is saying is goes in line with that story that I've shared many times about just believing in the Holy Spirit in that person. So we're believing and we are just trusting that the Holy Spirit is in that other person, period. So it doesn't matter what they're saying, but we're willing to see that light in that other person. And by seeing that light in them, we learn that it's in ourselves as well. So that's essentially what this paragraph speaks of to me.
That takes a lot of trust.
It sure does. It sure does. It doesn't always feel like it's easy, and yet when we do it, that is, you know, huge grounds for us to continue to develop that trust. And this is very much in line with that story that I've shared many times about one of my family members being on the phone, and this person was just, I was judging what they were saying, thinking that they weren't handling something the way that they should be, and rather than go through my normal cycle of annoyance and frustration and trying to, you know, tell them to turn to the Holy Spirit, damn it, I sat there and I just focused on being willing to see the Holy Spirit in them, period. Just, it didn't mean that the Holy Spirit was going to make them do the right thing. It didn't mean that the Holy Spirit, you know, was going to make them say the right thing, but I just was focused on being willing to see the Holy Spirit in them, and they started speaking, you know, in an entirely different fashion, and it just blew me away. So it definitely isn't easy at times, and yet then when it happens, it can be huge grounds, again, for strengthening our trust that the Holy Spirit is in that person, and as we see that, we learn that it's in ourselves.
I was just telling my daughter that I don't want to call it a story, but I was telling her about that today because she's starting to do this very thing in certain situations, and she had that kind of shift take place with a friend of hers, and she was just amazed by it. And I don't know that she's thinking so much of the Holy Spirit, but her focus was on just loving that person, you know, or rather herself. And the shift that came about between her and this person was just amazing. Mm. And it made me think about this, you know, what you just said, and I was telling her, and it really, it gives you so much hope and faith.
It does.
You know, in situations that can be challenging, because, boy, when you let the Holy Spirit in, everything just changes.
Yeah, and then that's where, like, the lessons, you know, I trust my brothers who are one with me.
Yeah.
I am in danger nowhere in the world. There's other, you know, lessons like that. It's all speaking to the same thing that, you know, the Holy Spirit is in every single other person. And as the Holy Spirit in our mind joins with the Holy Spirit in their mind, that's where healing happens. That's where, you know, these huge shifts and these miracles occur. And that's, you know, how we learn that we are true. We're safe. We are safe. There's nothing but the Holy Spirit's, there's nothing but that love there. Everything else isn't real.
It's something that the world does not teach. So, you know, I just think this is so wonderful that we get together each week and
it's helpful.
Share these thoughts. It's so helpful. It's so tremendously helpful.
It also comes to mind, there's a number of different stories, and I don't think I've shared any of these in a while, but a friend of a friend was, she came home, I think this is in, I don't know exactly where she lived, but she came home and only to find there was a man in her house who was like in the middle of robbing her place.
Oh.
And rather than react with fear, she said, "Can I help you?" And, you know, she kind of immediately sort of, and I don't think this person practiced A Course in Miracles, but it was that same sort of idea where rather than choosing for fear, she was, you know, being willing to choose for love instead. And he's like, "Oh, you know, I thought there was going to be a party here or something." I don't remember what exactly he said to her, but she's like, "Oh, you know, I can show you out." And he's like, "Oh, do you mind if I just use your bathroom on the way out?" And she's like, "Yeah, no problem." So the guy uses the bathroom and leaves. And then however long it was after that, she realizes that all of her jewelry was gone, or whatever it was, her valuables in her house. I'm sorry. She realized that right away. And I'm sure called the police. I don't remember details. It was a while then after that she found in her linen closet in the bathroom that all of her jewelry was, you know, left in between the towels. He, like, left everything and then just left. So that, to me, is just one of these examples that when we reach for the Holy Spirit in ourselves, the Holy Spirit in another, you know, again, it's the Holy Spirit joining with the Holy Spirit. It's the truth uniting with the truth, and so massive shifts can happen.
Wow.
It's a cool story. And it's true. Are there anything come up for anybody so far? Any questions, any comments? Okay, let's take the next paragraph then. To disbelieve is to side against or to attack. To believe is to accept and to side with. To believe is not to be credulous, but to accept and appreciate. What you do not believe, you do not appreciate, and you cannot be grateful for what you do not value. There is a price you will pay for judgment, because judgment is the setting of a price. And as you set it, you will pay it. So this paragraph to me is speaking to the fact that, what's the word I'm looking for? Our belief in whatever you want to say, in spirit, in the Course, in, you know, our higher mind, in the Holy Spirit, it's not about being gullible or just believing for the sake of believing. It's about, again, this is an experiential process, that as we have these little experiences or big experiences that teach us that there is something beyond us, our trust builds. And so it's talking about believing being a synonym for accepting and appreciating. And so what you do not believe, you do not appreciate, and cannot be grateful for what you do not have. So if we're, how do I say this? You know what, I want to read the next paragraph too, because I feel like I'll be able to maybe find the words a little bit better.
Thing that kind of occurs to me is to disbelieve is to side against or to attack. It's deciding against yourself. It's attacking yourself.
Yeah. I like how you said that, Paula. You're absolutely right. It's pushing ourself, capital S, away from our awareness by disbelieving it. So by believing
it throws you out of alignment, and you're no longer in, you know, that vertical position where you're of connection.
That was really helpful. Thank you. Okay, so the next paragraph. So I just want to read the last sentence again at this paragraph. There is a price you will pay for judgment, because judgment is the setting of a price. And as you set it, you will pay it. If paying is equated with getting, you will set the price low but demand a high return. You will have forgotten, however, that your return is in proportion to your judgment of worth. If paying is associated with giving, it cannot be perceived as loss, and the reciprocal relationship of giving and receiving will be recognized. The price will then be set high because of the value of the return. The price for getting is to lose sight of value, making it inevitable that you will not value what you receive. Valuing it little, you will not appreciate it and not want it. So I think it would be helpful to break this paragraph down a little bit. So if we look at the word getting versus giving. Getting versus receiving, actually, is the two different ways of looking at this. So if we're going to get something for our small self, what again, if we think of the ego's laws of giving and receiving, we're getting something for our small self, where we feel like we're going to, you know, gain in some way of our small self. So we're going to set the price low. We're not going to want to, let's say, pay a whole lot, but we're going to demand a high return. We're going to want a lot because, again, we're coming from our ego when we feel like we're getting something. When it says you will have forgotten, however, that your return is in proportion to your judgment of worth. That to me is speaking to that, you know, what you are giving is in proportion to the value that you think something has. So in other words, you know how we use that expression, you know, you pay for what you get. Like, we don't really value something that much, but we still maybe want it, so we aren't going to put a lot of money out there. We're going to try to, you know, cut corners, but we actually, you know, we pay for what we get. If we're, that's what that sentence speaks to me. So, however, I'm sorry, this paragraph, if it's coming across as confusing, but if paying is associated with giving, it cannot be perceived as loss, and the reciprocal relationship of giving and receiving will be recognized. Meaning, if making a payment, rather than feeling like you're going to gain of your small self, if paying is associated with giving, like, you know, when you're donating something, when you're sharing something, like that feeling that you get when you give, when you donate, you know, you're giving money and it makes you feel good, right? So you both gain. That can't be perceived as a loss, and the reciprocal relationship of giving and receiving will be recognized. So again, it goes back to that lesson to give and to receive are one in truth. So then, that last, actually second to last sentence, the price for getting is to lose sight of value, making it inevitable that you will not value what you receive. So the price for getting, when we're getting with the ego, when we feel like our ego is gaining something, we're going to lose sight of value. And in this case, I think about the value of God's love. You know, if we're focused on gaining something, getting something of our small self, the value of God's love is not going to be in our awareness anymore. And so, we're actually losing in that case. So, As we give God's love, we're going to become aware of it in our own mind. I know this paragraph might be kind of heavy. Is anybody with me? I feel like I'm talking way too much.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. It's kind of wordy and a little hard to follow.
Giving and receiving is the same in truth, it comes to mind.
And we can just be happy with that. I feel like that sums it up.
honestly, half the time when I'm in that ego frame of mind, I don't even know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what I want to give. I don't know what I want. I mean, I just don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of chaos and confusing.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point, Paula. We don't know what we want when we're coming from our small self, from our ego. That's that place where we're, you know, we think we know what's going to make us happy. We think we know what we want, but we're actually profoundly confused.
Yep.
I've been finding, like, I've had two really kind of really neat experiences happen to me recently. And it's like the more I can be detached from what it is that I think that I want. Like if I notice myself really wanting something, that's like an indicator that I'm probably thinking with my ego, right? But if I'm totally detached from whatever the outcome is, what ends up happening is I usually get what I wanted to begin with anyway. Or something happens and I get something that I completely didn't expect. I'll give you an example. This week I ordered some groceries from a delivery service. We have a grocery store that delivers food, and I had placed an order with these people. And it's an online delivery service, and you schedule your order at a specific time, and you pick your delivery time, and they drop it off for you, which works really well when it's snowing. So I had ordered some food. They have an organic section and everything. And I had put my order in at, I think, like 5 minutes before the cutoff time. So my order was supposed to come in at about 6 o'clock in the evening. And it was like 6:35 and the order still wasn't here. And I kept talking to my angels. I was like, what's going on here? Like, what would you have me do kind of thing? And I kept getting this message to call the store. So I called the store, and the lady was like really busy. So she said, could I call you back in a few minutes? And I said, okay, sure, that's fine, no problem. I just wanted to see what happened. I was expecting my order, but it didn't show up. And she said, well, I'll call you back in a few minutes. Well, it turned out they had a computer glitch in their system, and several people who placed orders that day didn't get their food. And the lady said to me, Do you want us to drop off the order tonight? Like, do you want me to, I don't have a shopper here, but I can shop it myself and drop it off tonight, or could you wait till tomorrow? And I said, I could wait till tomorrow. That's no problem. So the guy shows up at my house, and I could just feel from his energy that there were so many people getting angry at them for having this problem or whatever. And I just said, no, it didn't bother me, and I understand that these things happen. Because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of, you know, my course principles and going, I created this situation, so what can I learn from it? And there would have been a time in my life where I was, you know, extremely angry and frustrated and demanding my, you know, my food and this and that and the other. Well, he pulls out this card, and he says, the manager is giving everyone $20 off their order. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. And I was not expecting that, but, you know, like, if I had been really irate and angry at the woman, I would have been blocking myself from receiving, right?
Absolutely.
So it's just another example of, we don't know what anything is for, but because I was able to, like, extend love to both those people and not, like, berate them for a perceived mistake, you know, it came back to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sort of what this is talking about. If you're giving to get something, mm-hmm. then you're blocking it. But if you're giving out of a sincere desire to spread love, then it's just going to keep spreading outward.
Yeah. That is perfect. That's perfect, because
this is really confusing when you're reading it, but that's the perfect example of what this is talking about, I think.
That's beautiful, Deidre. Yeah, exactly.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
super, super helpful. It just makes me think, sort of tying back to what Paula said, and I don't remember, Paula, your exact words, but Deidre, how you just said, you know, with giving, when we give to get, that's another form of attack, in a sense, that going back to what Paula said, you know, that it's an attack on ourselves. We're pushing away our awareness of our true self when, again, when we're coming from ego. So giving to get is another form of that versus, again, that open receiving.
I think there's really something wonderful, too, about really the recognition that we really don't know what we want. That God knows what's good for us. We don't know. We don't know what's good. I'm thinking about selling my house. And it's like, I don't know if I want to sell my house. I don't know where I want to go. I don't know. I simply don't know. And I think that opens the door.
It sure does.
To something really wonderful.
It's a huge,
and it goes
huge,
back again to trust would settle all things now.
Yeah.
You know, just trust.
Trusting is so key, like just giving up control. Like, I didn't know any of what was going to happen, but it turned out really well because I allowed it to. You know, I didn't, and that particular example involved money, but think of like, if you're giving to someone in a relationship, any kind of relationship, whether it's your parents or your brother or anybody, and you're giving to get something back, then it's always going to fall short, right? But if you're giving just to give, then that love is going to just keep expanding.
Yeah.
So it applies to everything, really.
It does.
It really does. And once again, I mean, the world really does not teach this. The world teaches the total opposite. So this is just so wonderful to be able to connect and, you know, refresh our minds.
Right.
Yeah, for some reason, Corinne, there's that lesson in the course that's popping in my head now, something about a something world engenders fear.
A meaningless world.
Meaningless world.
Yeah, thank you. And that has been extremely helpful to me lately. Like, if I'm feeling fear in any way, I just turn that around and I'm like, I must be investing in something meaningless then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so helpful to think of it that way, to like turn it backwards.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And that applies to, I'll take that to another example of when we have, you know, sickness fears or body fears, when the fear is there, we're investing in something meaningless, which we don't want to think is the body, right? Like, that seems to be, like, again, we're confused because we think that that's who we are. But the fear comes because, again, we're investing in something that's actually, not that it's meaningless, it's totally neutral, but it needs to be seen differently. It's that perception that needs to be healed and not the body. Because the body will follow when, you know, the perception changes. I love how you turned that lesson around. That's perfect. Again, really helpful. Other thoughts or questions or examples coming up for anybody? It's so helpful, you know, thank you, Paula and Deidre, for sharing your examples, because when we hit these sections that are kind of heady and wordy and hard to understand, I feel like, you know, your examples are just perfect. It really helps to demonstrate what it's saying rather than trying to explain it.
Honestly, before Deidre started talking, I thought to myself, how in the world are we ever going to understand this?
Mm-hmm. And
right into the perfect example of what it's talking about. I'm like, oh, my.
It's not me, it's spirit. Don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. How about we read the next paragraph then? Never forget, then, that you have set the value on what you receive and have priced it by what you give. To believe that it is possible to get much for little is to believe that you can bargain with God. God's laws are always fair and perfectly consistent. By giving, you receive. But to receive is to accept, not to get. It is impossible not to have, but it is possible not to know you have. The recognition of having is the willingness for giving. And only by this willingness can you recognize what you have. I want to read that sentence one more time. The recognition of having is the willingness for giving. And only by this willingness can you recognize what you have. What you give is therefore the value you put on what you have, being the exact measure of the value you put upon it. And this, in turn, is the measure of how much you want it. There's something about that sentence that's really striking to me. The recognition of having is the willingness for giving. And only by this willingness can you recognize what you have. This, again, to me, is speaking about God's love. The recognizing that we have it is our willingness for giving it. And only by our willingness for giving God's love can we recognize that we have God's love. So it's that idea again, to give and to receive are one in truth. I also really like that sentence. It's impossible not to have, but it is possible not to know you have. So again, it's impossible not to have the love of God, but it is possible not to know you have the love of God. So again, that's our profound confusion. That's where, you know, we have this great amnesia, as the Course calls it, in forgetting who it is that we truly are. And so we have it. It's already there, but we've just forgotten it. It is possible to know that we don't have it. And that's the state we find ourselves in. But we're remembering. We're all waking up together.
And it really is that decision not to attack yourself, not to be so hard on yourself, you know, that your relationship with God is your relationship with yourself. That's such a good one, because it's, you know, when I'm beating myself up, it's like, oh, my God, God wouldn't be doing this. God wouldn't be saying this, wouldn't be doing this. What would God be saying and doing in this situation?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I think that's always, what is God's take on this? And that just puts things into perspective so much quicker, you know?
Absolutely. God probably wouldn't care about 95% of the things that we get preoccupied with. Again, it's just the love that God is, that the Holy Spirit is looking to. Only what's true. Not all these little things that, you know, we use to distract ourselves and preoccupy ourselves and that we concern ourselves with. Was somebody else going to add something?
Hi, it's Tony. How are you?
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to ask, does this have anything to do with abundance and scarcity and how God is infinitely abundant? And as we give our gifts away, we give them to ourselves?
I think that's a beautiful, another way of looking at this.
Because, I mean, so God does not know of scarcity, so we essentially can't give away anything that we do not possess. And if we're giving to get, then we're implying that we're incomplete without that thing that we want, right?
Beautifully said.
So,
yeah.
So it's, I guess the only gifts we get to keep are the ones that we give away.
Right. Yeah, that's a great way of saying it. And again, what is that?
When I first read this, the parts and the Foundation of Inner Peace on page 165, the line, "Do not ask for blessings without blessing them, for only in this way can you learn how blessed you are,"
mm.
is recognizing that the thing that you seek, you already have.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, that's what I got from that.
That sums it up. Thank you for adding that. I feel like you added another layer of how we can look at this.
Yeah, totally.
Is that, I was just looking, the sentence that you read from the FIP edition, I feel like we read that, but I don't know when, so I don't know exactly where it is. Is it in a different place? Are you reading it like in
oh,
the sentence that we just read?
But yeah, it's sentence 4, paragraph 8, page 165.
Ah, got it.
Yeah. There's, I don't know if it's from the New Testament, but that give and it will be given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So, just recognizing that we already have it and just to give it because essentially, you know, we're giving it to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. We did read that sentence. I thought, I was like, wait a second, did that sentence, "Do not ask for blessings without blessing them, for only in this way can you learn how blessed you are." We did read that in the first paragraph tonight, so funny how fast sometimes these things can fly out of your head. So I'm really glad that you brought that up again. Beautiful. Anybody have anything to add to that? About abundance?
So it's really love you're talking about. Give the love to yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's really all.
Yeah.
That's the most, at the deepest level, that's all it is.
Yeah. I may have read this somewhere, but it may have been John Mundy or something, but he talks about love and making and having a love bank, and all the love that you give, you're making like a deposit in your love bank. And as you give more love, you're making a deposit. So, you know, all of your kind deeds, you know, your loving thoughts, all of your loving actions, you're giving all of these gifts to yourself when you give them to your brother.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we, as we give them to our brother, that's how we learn that we have them.
Exactly.
Awesome. I like that idea of the love bank. That's great.
Making a deposit in the love bank. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it helps me remember to be kind in all ways, always.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah,
you know, it says somewhere in the course, too, and you're just reminding me of this when you're talking about the love bank, that it says something that, you know, all of our gifts that we've ever given are preserved for us, that nothing is ever lost. And so that makes me think of that love bank. So that's really helpful. Deidre, were you going to add something?
No, just that was awesome.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you.
All right, last paragraph of this section. You can ask of the Holy Spirit, then, only by giving to him, and you can give to him only where you see him. If you see him in everyone, consider how much you will be asking of him and how much you will receive. He will deny you nothing because you have denied him nothing, and so you can share everything. This is the way and the only way to have his answer, because his answer is all you can ask for and want. Say then to everyone, because I will to know myself, I see you as God's son and my brother. I love that paragraph. Again, it just brings to mind to me this idea of simply being willing to see the Holy Spirit in everyone, period. It doesn't mean that they're going to do the right thing or say the right thing or act in a certain way, but just with that willingness to see the Holy Spirit in another person, we're asking that of the Holy Spirit. We're asking the Holy Spirit in our mind to join with the Holy Spirit in that other person's mind, and think of how much we'll receive when that happens. Which happens instantly. We receive the recognition that the Holy Spirit is in us.
And that's really setting an intention, isn't it, in a sense? It really takes a lot of awareness and, you know, being in the moment with situations. And
mm-hmm. Lots of awareness, definitely. Yeah, because when we don't have that awareness, we have those knee-jerk, you know, reactions, those pathways that we can go down that are our sort of our default.
So, yeah. I was driving to work. This is Allison. I was driving to work the other day, and as I was driving in the car, I was looking at the car ahead of me, and I read the miracles, the Course in Miracles, every morning before I get ready. And I was looking at the car ahead of me, and I was watching as I was passing cars, and I just had this vision, and I know that it was from God, and it was like all of a sudden I could see this like golden, white, bright light in each person driving the vehicle. And the thought and the vision came to me, that's their holiness, the holiness that's not only within myself, but is within the person in front of me, the person in front of that person, each car passing by. And it was like I was driving, it was real time, but it was like time slowed down, and I felt like I was in this different warp dimension. It was really beautiful, and I'm probably not explaining it very well, but it kind of stuck with me, kind of like, you know how you have a dream at night, and you wake up the next morning, and it's like you relive that dream all through the day, it just sticks with you. That vision that I had as I was driving stuck with me and has continued to stick with me, and I'm very, very grateful for it. So I just wanted to share that.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I'm so happy that you did share it. It sounds like, a holy instant. You know, there's a number of different ways that the Course refers to it as, but that was definitely such a gift. You've reminded me, I just finished reading the book. I think we brought it up a couple weeks ago. I've been really into just all these accounts of near-death experiences, and the afterlife of Billy Fingers, I think we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't think we actually talked about it, because I don't think anybody had read it yet, but I just finished it, and it was wonderful, and I really enjoyed it, and you just reminded me, Allison, when you were talking about it, about seeing the light in another person. I don't remember the author's name, but her brother actually appears to her, like she actually can see him and hear his voice after he has died, and there's, you know, he talks a lot about light, and so hearing you say that just immediately brought that to mind. That's really beautiful, and it's so, you know, those experiences, when we have them, we know, too, when it's hard to put into words, it's because it is something that's, you know, sort of almost outside of our understanding. So thank you for trying to share it with us.
You're welcome.
It's really helpful, even if sometimes we might feel like we couldn't convey the whole experience, it still comes through. That's awesome. Other questions or comments or things that are coming up for people? So I'm really excited about Chapter 9. In the FIP edition, we're already in Chapter 9 in the FIP edition. It's just the next section. But if you're in the Sparkle or Original editions, we're going into Chapter 9. And this is all about the correction of error. And I just love this first sentence. The alertness of the ego to the errors which other egos make is not the kind of vigilance the Holy Spirit would have you maintain. Egos are critical in terms of the kind of sense they stand for. They understand this kind of sense because it is sensible to them. To the Holy Spirit, it makes no sense at all. To the ego, it is kind and right and good to point out errors and correct them. This makes perfect sense to the ego, which is totally unaware of what errors are and what correction is. So have any of us ever been corrected by another person? And how does it feel? doesn't feel so good, right?
It's an attack.
An attack. Yeah, it sucks. It definitely feels like an attack, even if you know, even if it's delivered perhaps constructively.
Mm-hmm.
Corinne,
yeah.
The course talks about two voices and two choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it does not talk about three voices.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about two voices. So the thoughts in our head are either the thoughts of God or the thoughts of the ego.
Yes.
Is that not correct?
That's
Do you
totally
agree
correct.
With that?
Absolutely. No. And I would add that most of the thoughts on the surface of our mind are from the ego, because the ego, it's that chatter, it's that blip, 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 you know, that constant wheel that's turning. And to me, other voice is deeper than that.
All right. So this voice that's speaking right now
mm-hmm.
is either the voice for God or the voice for the ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is no other voice.
Correct.
Is that not so?
You got it.
Yeah. And the ego.
Does that simplify things or what?
Yeah. Definitely.
Go ahead. What were you saying, Tony?
Tony, what were you going to say?
Oh. And the ego speaks first, and it speaks the loudest. So
loudest, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And both of the voices sound like you, so to be vigilant is to be able to discern between the two voices,
yeah.
Correct?
Right. So I'm not really listening to Tony right now.
You're listening to
I'm not
spirit,
listening to Corinne.
The Holy Spirit. Exactly. Well, you know.
And Paul is not speaking right now.
Right. We have that willingness to let the Holy Spirit speak through us. So that's where, again, our body becomes a wholly neutral thing. It's a device to let Spirit speak through us. And when we allow our body to be just that, which is really all it, that's the only real purpose that it has, that's when it is our healthy, serviceable instrument to be laid by when its usefulness is over. It's when we put these other purposes to it that, you know, it becomes subject to sickness and all that stuff.
I am so glad we're clarifying this right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's the ego voice in my head wants to say, oh, no, 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 wait, 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 wait. You know, oh, no, 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 no. No, there's Paula. There's Paula. Remember Paula? You know, and no, there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
There's two voices and two choices. That's really cool when you
it
think
is.
About it. That is really amazing.
It is. It is. And, you know, another thing that I like thinking of it, too, is that, you know, Corinne is my ego construct. It's my small, you know, my small self, my personality that I've made in this world. I can, again, you know, allow Corinne to be used for the Holy Spirit's purpose, or when I get, you know, attached to Corinne and want things to be her way and, you know, enjoy having my own little separate world that I'm in charge of, obviously that's when, you know, I'm giving this neutral, you know, device, this Corinne over to the ego again. So I like talking about myself in the third person. It helps me separate myself from my ego.
And so, another thing the Course is constantly saying, though, is that the ego doesn't even exist.
Right.
So there really is only the voice for God.
Right. That's where the lesson, I don't remember the lesson, like the title of it, but it's in there somewhere, that it says something to the effect, it's probably in some of the early lessons, one of the early lessons, where our minds are really drawing a blank, that all this chatter, all the ego chatter, our own personal thoughts, our mind is actually blank at that point in time. It's almost like it's stunned because it's not really thinking. It's not thinking with Spirit at that point. It's this, you know,
if you're
nothing.
Not thinking with God, you're not thinking at
right.
all.
Right.
That's right, because everything else doesn't exist.
Right.
Hallelujah. That is such good news.
It is good news. It used to freak me out, but it sounds like good news now.
Well, it kind of goes back to what we were discussing last week. I think Paula brought it up, and we were people were saying, oh, I'm glad, you know, Holy Spirit doesn't hear these thoughts. And we were talking about it's not only that Holy Spirit doesn't hear them, it's that they don't exist.
Yeah.
It's us that are giving those thoughts belief or power, but really
life into them.
They're not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that lesson in the Course that says, I am upset because I see something that is not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same principle.
Right, right.
Hey guys, it's Jen.
Hey,
I've been on the call.
Hi.
I've had to come off and on, so I've heard most of it, but I just want to say that I really love the metaphor that what you guys were just talking about with both voices. Like, I automatically got this image of, you know, like those voice changer things that you'll sometimes see in like scary movies where someone's like talking into them. I got this, like, almost like the holy instant, like, came through because I just felt so much in the moment. It was like, that's what it all is. It's like everything is just this pure, you know, whatever it is, nothingness, everything, whatever you want to call it. And it's just every person's identity is going filtering through, like, through this voice changer. And then even that person, depending on how far or close to God you are in the moment, it's kind of like you're tweaking the frequency on it.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Like that.
Because I was listening without, because I wasn't speaking, I was listening, and I was even hearing all of your guys' voices, and it was like, I just was like, oh, my God. Like, it was like a total bug out, because I'm like, this really is God just talking right now with, like, different voices. Like, it was so cool.
That's cool. It makes me want, like,
cool.
A Darth Vader voice. Like, I don't know. That came to mind when you said, like, about that voice changer. I immediately thought of Darth Vader.
Yeah, it was really cool. But I did want to say, also, when we were saying that, I think, Paula, was you saying kind of, you know, it's either the voice of God or it's the voice of the ego, but then you were saying that God is actually really everything and everything. It's, I guess, it's both at the same time, because ever since our last call, it's been so helpful. I actually read this blog entry afterwards, and I wanted to share it with all of you. I didn't know how to do that because I don't have anyone's contact info, really, except for Corinne's. But it just kind of, the article was saying that we always think we have to do something until, like, when we're fully with the voice of God. Like, we have to wait until that next, until we feel like 100%. But if we did that, we might always be waiting. And so we just do it knowing that God's always there and just recognizing that, you know, the ego's always going to be there too, but we just do it anyway because it's all God. I don't know if that's making sense. The article just breaks it down so well.
Cool. You know, did you join the ACIM study group on Miracle Share? I feel like you did.
I think I did. I think I, that's why
there?
I was like, oh, I can. Okay.
That would be a good place. I think most of us are on it. And if we're not, if somebody isn't, I could forward it to whoever wants.
Okay,
it.
Awesome.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Because I think it helps
cool.
to bring it all together. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. We won't read anymore, but any other thoughts or comments or anything coming up for anyone? Well, I'm excited to continue this reading next week, Chapter 9 stuff, with the correction of error is good. So we will pick up where we're leaving off, and I hope everybody has a fantastic week. So thank you so much for being here and sharing. We all learn from each other.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.